Hello and welcome to the Label Sessions Presents podcast. Label Sessions is the world's leading innovation expert network. In this series, you will meet some of the most interesting leaders anywhere, from across the worlds of business, design, tech, culture, and sustainability, all signed to the Label Sessions roster. To find out more about our work, helping brands and institutions around the world take on their big challenges for the future, head to labelsessions.com to find out more. For now, enjoy the podcast.
Thanks so much for your time, Jessica. I really appreciate you coming to sit down and chat with me today. We obviously know you're someone who's quite passionate about all things innovation, insights, strategy, and personal growth. But I'd love to know, or love to have you introduce yourself to our listeners before we get started.
Sure. I'm Jessica Yankel. I am an innovation and strategy a partner at an agency that works on innovation and strategy, so a form of consultant. And I'm also a personal coach. And I see a lot of commonalities across both of those worlds. My background is in, I actually started off as a consultant at the firm that I'm a partner with now. But then I moved and spent about 10 years working inside large kind of food and beverage companies, as well as food tech startups. Working on innovation for chocolate, for soda, and for other kind of food and beverage products. I guess I can wrap up just who I am. I always forget this by name. If I'm introducing myself, I live in Brooklyn, New York, and I live with my husband and my 2.5-year-old daughter. So I've been kind of on a journey into a new phase of life since becoming a parent. So that's another big theme for me.
Yeah, you mentioned it a little bit there, but I'd love to pick on it a little bit more about how you combine an innovation strategy and see how it blends with personal coaching. What sort of interest did that merger between those two worlds, and how do you think that they complement each other?
You know, as working in innovation and strategy, which, you know, can be the same discipline or can kind of be two very far apart disciplines, and that's something I kind of think and even speak a little bit about now. What I realize is like there's a lot in common there with like, okay, looking at the external landscape or looking outside of the company and thinking about what's changing in the environment, what's changing in the landscape, where does our company want to go, and what kind of transformation or innovation initiatives do we need to make to get there, whether it's like to stay competitive in a changing market or to move into a new market segment. You know, one of the famous innovation stories is about Kodak and how they kind of, you know, had even internally developed the technology for kind of digital cameras and digital photography, but because it wasn't built on film, which is what the company was about, you know, they kind of famously missed this big opportunity. And whereas Kodak was, you know, synonymous with photography, like all through the 80s and 90s, now it's no one really knows what, you know, who they even are anymore. So that type of thinking, like what's going on outside, what's changing, how do I have to change as a company in order to stay relevant and stay competitive, is really what innovation strategy is all about. And then I started to think about, you know, the way that we each kind of live our lives and navigate our careers and, you know, how those two things intertwine, your life and career. And I feel that it's a very similar thing. It's like, well, what's changing in my life? What's changing in my stage of life or my life circumstance? What's changing around me, like the job market or the type of skills? You know, right now the conversation is all about AI and what's it going to do for people's jobs, and how is it going to change the career landscape? And so there's a bit of kind of external exploration that's really similar to an innovation process that has to happen. And then there's really deep kind of an internal and personal exploration that, again, is kind of about the same thing. Who do I want to be? How do I want to feel in my life, in my job? Kind of asking these questions and really trying to understand, like, where do I want to go? Who do I want to become? Feels very similar to what you kind of help coach companies to do as in the world of innovation and strategy. So, you know, I think I kind of fell into coaching and I realized, wow, this is something I've always kind of been drawn to. And I just didn't even really know it was a thing, but helping people to think about their problems in a more kind of hopeful and optimistic and strategic way that feels empowering and makes it actionable is just something I've kind of always done in some form or another.
No, that's brilliant. And it's definitely something that feels like a really great logical next step, because they're quite often seen, like you say, as two separate entities. And it just seems like it's just, you know, it's always just been there. It's always been right under our noses. And this is a bit of a tangent, but I do find the Kodak example is a really good example of a misstep, because the only Kodak products that I've seen recently that made me sort of double take, I was like, batteries? I saw Kodak batteries on the shelf and I'm like, why do Kodak do batteries of all things? Because they can now. It sort of screams a bit of like, what are they trying to be? I've seen Kodak used more as like fashion and weird sort of accessories like that than actual...
Like a throwback, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nostalgia kind of thing. But That brings on something else I was thinking about, which was something that we looked into and something that you've really sort of cultivated, which I thought was quite interesting, which was choice pathway mapping. And it's a really cool concept, and I'd love for you to break it down for us and explain to you how it helps folks navigate their personal and professional journeys like you were discussing before.
So one of the things that I am really kind of passionate about in the realm of kind of corporate and business innovation strategy is this just sort of way of thinking, which is about kind of creating different opportunity pathways or different, whether it's opportunity areas. And what you do is you kind of map out like, okay, how could the landscape evolve? How could the market, the playing field evolve? What are, you know, how could the economy evolve? How could whatever the dimension I'm looking at, how could that change? And then you kind of say, okay, I could find myself in these different scenarios. What are the steps and actions, and really in a business sense, like the investments that I should make now that are going to give me maximum resilience for wherever I find myself in any of those scenarios? You know, like I shouldn't make my plans just on the idea that everything's going to work out exactly the way that I think. And as you do that, you start to shape up, you know, not a specific plan. I'm going to do this and then I'm going to do that and then I'm going to do that and then I'm going to do that, but more kind of what become like territories. So, you know, there could be one strategic direction or another strategic direction, and you kind of align your efforts to that direction rather than to specific, let's say, concrete actions or objectives. So in like the personal realm, I think a good way to think about it is like when you do a job search. A lot of times, you know, people will say, okay, I need to update my resume. That's like the first step in a job search. And I always say, that's not where you start. That should kind of come after this period of exploration where it's like, okay, what is out there? What does the external environment look like? What are exactly the type of roles that I think are the right fit? How do they kind of bucket or cluster into different kind of opportunity areas? And then start to weigh those. You know, it's not this job versus that job, but it's like, you know, you might be considering, okay, do I want to, you know, take another job at a big corporate, or do I want to maybe move to a leadership role at a startup, or do I want to try and start my own thing? And you kind of, by bucketing it that way, you can start to, you know, you're not going to use the same resume for all three of those options, right? You're going to have to, not only your resume, but really everything you're doing needs to be tailored toward the direction you're going. And maybe you're weighing two or three directions at once, which is fine. But it's kind of like when you think about it as these big strategic pathways, you can then start to test the waters a little bit in each. You know, it's not about like putting the final touches on your resume for one of them. It's rather, okay, first let me think about, do I really want to go, you know, back to a big corporate, or do I really want to be in a startup, or do I really want to do what it's going to take to go and start my own thing? Like that's one kind of decision point that as you embark on your search, you're going to be meeting people, talking to people, gathering inputs, gathering information, and you need a way to kind of bring that back in and organize it and help that to structure kind of the process as you go through, which is really what you're doing in innovation. You might say, okay, well, we need to, you know, get to, in food and beverage, like a healthier portfolio. So we're going to work on kind of on sugar, and we're going to work on calories and fat, but you don't know exactly what you're going to do about each of those things. You only learn that as you kind of unfold and go through the process. It's very similar with anything you're doing in your life. So it's just kind of like, how do you think about these big kind of buckets of opportunity and weigh them against one another as you gather information, and then kind of go deeper and deeper into one, you know, one of the pathways as you start to get that information to be able to inform where you want to go.
Both are on the same page of thinking that mentoring is really important. And I'd love to get your perspective on why you think having a good mentor can be good, can be influential on both somebody personal and professional.
You know, I think mentorship is something that is so important, and it's a lot of times it's really kind of misunderstood too. Sometimes there's kind of this tendency or the way that people talk about it is like, okay, you have to go out and get a mentor. And it's almost like, okay, if I just find the right mentor, like I'll have everything I need and I'll be able to achieve all my goals. And I definitely don't think that's the case. I think like that with mentorship, as with anything, it's kind of like you get in to it, or you get out of it what you put in, and hopefully, you know, much more. But it really is kind of a reciprocal thing. And so I think what a great mentor can do is, like, for me, I've had some mentors that were kind of informal programs, you know, like within my company structure, this person is your mentor and you can kind of go to them. And that has been amazing for specifically times where I was facing like a challenge. Like I remember early in my kind of consulting career, I was on one project and I was just so convinced that, you know, we were like in over our heads and we had so much research to do and it wasn't coming out the way we wanted. And I really thought, you know, oh my gosh, like we're never going to be able to deliver this project. And I went to my mentor and he was just like, we've never not delivered a project, you know, like we're going to deliver something, like, you know, is it going to be the one that you're the most proud of in your career and like be the absolute number one thing that you hold up as the gold standard? Like maybe not, maybe that's just not what it was this time, but okay, there, you know, there has to be one that isn't the best one. And just having that kind of gut check sometimes, especially because it's so easy to get wrapped up in your world. And you know, a lot of times in the big corporate space, it's like, you know, everyone around you is kind of going through this same set of overwhelming issues or challenges. And so having that kind of external, maybe, you know, calm in the storm type of perspective can be really important, just to like giving you perspective and getting your head out of the weeds. And then I've had informal mentors, like just kind of my group of peers and people that I know who, you know, might have like a specific thing to offer that feels not even necessarily related to what I'm working on or struggling with, but can give you kind of a way of thinking about it that, maybe broadens it or makes it feel a little more universal as a theme. So I think I look a lot to like mentors, even people I don't know. Like I listen to a lot of podcasts myself, and I love listening to like comedy and comedians talk about kind of the craft of comedy and how, you know, you have this resistance and you have this, a lot of them talk about like the fear and the discomfort and the insecurity of being up on stage. And I find that so kind of inspiring, even though I am nowhere near a comedian in my career. It's like, how do you kind of take those lessons from different people's experiences? I think that's really what kind of the essence of mentorship is all about, because ultimately, whatever the kind of advice is or the guidance, like it's you that has to take it and understand what it means for you. Like I think where mentorship kind of goes wrong is when people feel like, oh, my mentor is going to tell me what to do and that's what I have to do. And I think that's really not kind of the spirit of it. The spirit is more that you, again, you're gathering inputs, you're gathering kind of insights and signals from diverse and different perspectives and points of view that can help you inform that kind of progressive like journey that you're making along your, let's say, strategic pathways.
And I think that's a really nice touch that the mentoring can come from more indirect paths. It doesn't have to necessarily be something directly in your field for it to have an influence. It's more universal. And you think like with the idea of comedians and the you know, that goes along in terms of public speaking. And obviously, there's a craft in talking. There's craft in speaking and communicating. Obviously, I'd love to talk a little bit about the big one, the role at Pepsi and focusing on the long-term innovation strategy and insights. And what are the things that you're most proud of from that time or from that stint there?
So at Pepsi, my role was really about trying to help the organization take a longer term view into the future and the market. And what happens, you know, similar, and the reason that sort of the Kodak story I referenced is so famous is, you know, it's very common that like as an established kind of player in the market, you build up, you know, your set of like assets and capabilities, and basically you build up everything around a certain business model and a certain way of making money and a way of, you know, running yourself as a business. And this is often called kind of like the innovator's dilemma, which then becomes, okay, so we're doing so well at this business and it's keeping the lights on and keeping everybody's job and like this main, you know, business of that. In the case of PepsiCo, it's soda, you know, it's Pepsi, it's Mountain Dew, but it's also Gatorade and tea and water. It's a full beverage portfolio. But what people are kind of demanding today, or what they're buying from Pepsi today, is not always what, you know, where kind of the market is going, right? So Pepsi has a very big and established business around soda and snacks, but the trends around health and wellness and the trends around just general kind of consumer sophistication of the way that they think about what a beverage can do. You know, like one of the big things that I focused on was just understanding from social media and from kind of the general cultural conversation, what are the evolving tastes of people when it comes to beverages. And so I would follow a lot of social media trends. And, you know, it's like there's the beverage goblin, which is you have to have like your electrolytes and your caffeine and your gut health and your like water for hydration. You know, like you have to have each of these different things, which is a totally different world than we had even just like 20, 30 years ago. But a business like Pepsi, where, you know, it's in every gas station and entertain, you know, stadium and restaurant that you can imagine, it's a hard case to make to say like, no, let's go after this kind of hot gut health space instead of, you know, sending another can of Pepsi, you know, another case of Pepsi over there. And so like that, you're kind of always weighing that question of what we have today versus where we want to go in the future, and kind of how do you make it make business sense to do that? And it's not an easy question. So what I'm proud of is like working on that question. And I built a lot of capabilities, like leveraging tools like that use machine learning and now AI to really track and quantify and understand that conversation amongst consumers and amongst people, and to say like, you know, look, these functional beverage spaces, like, maybe they're not, you know, the biggest part of the market today, but as time evolves, they will be. And if we're not there, what does that mean for us? And that type of conversation, which was, you know, exactly where I would want to be at a place like that. So yeah, I think that's what I was kind of most proud of, just driving that.
It is a really difficult challenge, especially with a brand like that that's globally recognized. And it seems like they've tackled everything and accomplished everything of finding what could you possibly innovate on next could be a very big challenge. And I can only imagine what goes into that. Obviously, because the line's got to keep going up, you know?
Exactly. Well, and it's funny you say that because I just last week was speaking at a food innovation conference. And that was exactly the crux of my talk was, look, you know, we're all here because we love innovation and we love the creativity of it. And we love, you know, coming up with new ideas and being innovative and having this culture of innovation. But at the end of the day, it has to be in service of a business objective. And that's really the hard part. And like at PepsiCo, I would say that a lot. Like, we've had every idea, you know, like, and probably somewhere in the company, someone is working on it because it's this massive kind of complex, you know, living organism almost with so many different corners where people are doing really amazing stuff. The challenge is, yeah, steering an airliner, you know, like a massive, I don't know if an airliner is a ship, an aircraft carrier is what I meant to say. My husband would be ashamed of my metaphors, but you know what I mean. So like that's the challenge, and that's really more of a challenge of being strategic and kind of deliberate with innovation, not just, oh, we need better ideas, which I think is kind of what you hear a lot. So yeah, I think that's exactly kind of the point.
I don't think it's discussed enough, the sort of, because obviously a lot of the focus, especially with mentoring, is mainly, you know, earlier stage and finding your way to the top. But obviously mentoring is very much needed for, you know, that sort of late stage that's not really discussed very often. Because it's often perceived that once you've made it that late stage, that's it. You don't need any more guidance when you really do. Sometimes.
Yeah, nothing could be further from the truth. I actually, you know, there's been a big cultural kind of shift that I've noticed, especially since the pandemic. But, you know, people are talking a lot more about things that they didn't used to talk about. One of them is definitely imposter syndrome. And just this idea that, you know, you'll get to a point where you feel like, oh, yeah, I really do know what I'm talking about. And again, just to refer back to my like comedy podcast world, I love hearing these interviews with like actors who you would recognize from TV. And they're like, oh, I walked into this party and I felt like everyone was probably like, oh, why is that guy here? And like, so that was, I heard an actor say that and it just stuck with me so much. I was like, you know what? No one is comfortable. Like no one really feels like they belong in the position they're in. And we had a great panel at PepsiCo about in general career, and there was a bunch of senior leaders on stage and someone asked about imposter syndrome and one of them, I loved it. He's just sitting on the panel and he's like, yeah, I have imposter syndrome right now, like while I'm talking to you, you know? And so I think the challenge almost gets worse because you're moving up and you're a leader and you're in this leadership role and everyone kind of looks to you like you should know what you're doing. And, you know, you probably know a lot and you have a lot of experience and a lot that you can rely on. And when you maybe look back, it's like, wow, I definitely know a lot more than I did. But, you know, the idea that you kind of get, frankly, if you're in a place where you really feel like I got all this and I totally know what I'm doing, like either you're over arrogant and you'll have a Kodak moment eventually, or you are too comfortable and you probably, you know, need to push yourself a little more.
That leads into what I was going to ask you next, but I was sort of wanting to tweak it a little bit because it was mainly about finding your North Star and sort of career in life. But is it even right to have a specific sort of pre-planned North Star in mind, or is it better to have a goal in mind, yes, but also be open and flexible to that sort of goal changing? Because obviously, as we know in life, nothing ever goes according to plan.
Yes. Yes. 100%. I think, you know, the North Star metaphor, it's used a lot in kind of innovation. And what it's really trying to say is like, it's not that you're saying in 5 years, I want to have this outcome. Like, I want my life to look like this. Like, I just a quick personal side note that I didn't share at when I gave my background, but I started off my career studying international relations. I thought that I would go ahead and just fix everything that was wrong with foreign policy. And so when that turned out after a couple of years, like just dipping my toe into that field after college, when it turned out to definitely not be either a realistic dream or really something that I was suited to do, then I thought to myself, okay, I'll go to law school. And that's what sort of the only other thing that I could think to do. And a trip abroad kind of just like almost slapped me in the face, like woke me up to the reality that I hadn't actually considered all of my options, and I hadn't, that maybe law school really wasn't the right thing. But if I had kind of stopped to think about it, I might have realized that. And then that kicked off about 5 years living abroad, traveling around the world, learning new languages, getting exposed to the world of consulting, which was really not something I was aware of, but ended up being like a perfect fit. All completely unexpectedly and not in any way something I had ever planned. But the North Star for me was to do a job that made me feel good. I think one of the things that happened was I realized like, wait, I don't like, because I, you know, I love to do, to read and write and debate and engage with people. And people would always say, oh, you should be a lawyer. And then I really thought about it and I was like, and I talked to a lot of lawyers and it was like, well, that's not what being a lawyer is. You know, it's not Law and Order or whatever, or a John Grisham book. It's a lot of like reading and writing by yourself, you know, and I realized, wow, if I spend my day doing that, I feel exhausted. Even though I like to read and write, if I'm not kind of talking and in like, I realized that I loved actually working in a team, like being, you know, around a whiteboard with people, that was not something that I had ever considered as like a factor. It was more like, oh, you like to debate, be a lawyer, you know, you like to do business, be a business person. It's like, it's a lot more complex than that. So I guess all of that to say is that what the North Star should be is not a specific outcome, but almost more like a feeling or a way of being in your work.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And that brings us to our quickfire question round. We do this for everybody. It's either something that people love or dread, so we'll find out.
Little dread.
You touched on it a little bit there, but I'd love to get a firm answer. In another life, what do you think your career would be?
Okay. So maybe I biased myself, but the first thing that came to mind is that I would be an Instagram recipe maker. I would make recipe videos on Instagram to wild success. Even fun fact is that back in, I think it was like 2010, I was starting a food blog. And at that time I was like, oh no, it's over. It's too late. I missed the boat on the food blog trend. And then, yeah, blogs are now a thing of the past. And it's like, and probably Instagram too. I probably should want to be a TikTok recipe star, but I'm too old for TikTok.
TikTok and Instagram are kind of occupying the same weird space now, especially with the Reels. And Reels just kind of feels like TikTok light, and TikTok already doesn't have the best reputation as it is. But I mean, to be fair, I'm saying that somebody who spends way too long on TikTok in a given day looking at the exact recipe videos you're talking about, saving them, and then never making them.
Yep, that's a great one. I'm a big recipe hoarder.
One day, you never know. You've given some fantastic advice throughout this whole sort of half an hour or so. I'd love to know, what is the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
I've had a lot of great advice, but I do think the one that always stands out, and this, it's not really advice, it was a mindset reframe, but it was actually the same mentor that I mentioned before, who told me, you know, like, we never haven't delivered a project. And it was a similar thing where I was just feeling like, it was just in a phase in my career where I was really not like confident and matured in my abilities. And I think that would come out as like, oh, why are they asking me to do this? Like, they shouldn't be asking, kind of thing. And I was just kind of like telling him, oh, I'm so like, I don't know, anxious, nervous, whatever was going on. And he just like heard me say all this stuff. And then he's just like, he just looks at me and he's like, but Jess, you're not a victim. And I was just like, yeah, you're right. And it just, I don't know, for some reason, it was just such an important reframe, because it was like, I was so wrapped up in like, I don't know, all these different levels of this project work and expectations and feeling so overwhelmed. And just to like take a step back and be like, okay, I'm just, you know, like at PepsiCo, we would call it like a soda emergency. It's like you would get so, so, you know, this person needs this and the CEO wants this and we all have to, you know, get the deck together. And it's like you're working on a presentation about soda. Like let's tone it down a notch, you know, like that. That's a big reason that I think, you know, I didn't go into fixing the world foreign policy. Like I think that it was important to me that I not have to take myself so seriously every day, but that I could do it in a way that was like empowering. And it's then it becomes easy to forget that. And that's what I guess this advice or reframe was, just like, look, like it's not all about you. It's not always like happening to you. It's just, you know, just try to take a step back and have some perspective.
And that leads us quite lovely into our last question, which we always ask everybody, which is, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most, how are you, Jess?
It's funny because like, I feel like I've definitely always been weird. I feel like the definition of weird has changed a lot. It's got to be like 7 to 7 or 8.
Solid.
Yeah. I would say there's always something a little against the grain or a little not with the norm that I seem to have to bring to the table. So, yeah.
Awesome. And that wraps us up really well there. Thank you so much for your time, Jess. I really appreciate it. It's been fantastic. Really hope to speak to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This was such a pleasure.
As we close out another episode, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on our social channels. Want to access Label Sessions for your brand? Whether you want to build new products, access world-class mentors for your team, or reinvent the way you attract talent into your business, visit Label Sessions to find out more.